It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Been a thrilling day at Trent Bridge, with England finishing on 116 for 5 and still needing 152 to win the Women's Ashes Test match. Australia were all out for 257 earlier in the day as Sophie Eccleston took another fiver. This is the Wisden Cricket Ashes Daily Podcast. I'm Katia Whitney, and here with me today again is Cam Ponsonby. Cam, if I can actually take you back to last night, first of all, I think we were all thinking that the ball was in Australia's court in terms of almost an inevitable declaration. But in the morning session, it was Lauren Filer again who completely changed that.
It was, and the kind of, as the dust settled on yesterday, I think people kind of realised how much of an opportunity England had missed. I think at the time, I at least felt that England had reined in Australia's 470, and yeah, Aussies had got some runs, but like, it's okay. Whatever the Australia get, we'll chase it. It's fine. And I think coming into the day, it was like, actually, no, that was a real opportunity. They lost their last four wickets for about 15 runs. Australia getting ahead of the game was a nightmare. And then this morning, they started really poorly. Kate Cross dropped a sitter at cover, which made me feel really ill and sad, because that's like the worst feeling in the world. And then Heather Knight came on to bowl, and the game was just in a bit of a holding pattern. Australia were fine, and they were 149 for one. Yeah, that's exactly what they were. And all of a sudden, Lauren Filer comes on and kind of changes the game, which is exactly why Heather Knight kind of picked her. This whole thing was that she was the 20 wickets bowler who was going to make stuff happen, which also, in my opinion at least, made it surprising that she came on so close to lunch, about 20 minutes before lunch. So on the one hand, fantastic, perfect captaincy, two wickets and two overs, changes the game. But on the other hand, you could argue, well, why not earlier?
She got Elise Perry for the second time in the match.
Yes.
So, and Talia Maguire in consecutive overs, actually. I think at that point in the match, when Cross and Filer were taking those wickets, it wasn't quite panic stations for Australia, because they still had Beth Mooney there and that long batting order left to come. But after lunch, it all went a little bit pear-shaped for them, thanks in a large part to Eccleston's immaculate spell today. They lost four wickets for 20 runs after lunch, including Mooney and Gardner within four balls of each other. Eccleston's just unreal, isn't she?
She bowled 77 overs. Like, I can't.
And a ball.
Yes, and one ball. Very sorry. And like, I was kind of been joking a couple of times that like she was three overs away from having her own new ball, kind of thing. Like, she'd completing a set. But no, there was an amazing moment when she got that 10th wicket and it was confirmed on review. She's kind of sunk to the floor, just kind of absolutely exhausted and delighted, and all her teammates who know exactly how much she's done for this team, because she's England's best defensive bowler and attacking bowler. Like, she's gone at twos across the test match, and if you see her, the field she's bowling to, her lines are immaculate. She has next to no protection on the leg side, and so if she drifts at all a bit too straight, she's going for runs. And yet she's kind of, well, she may well end up on a losing team, but she has been the best player of the match by, I would argue, quite a distance.
100%. I'll do my daily stats roundup that I started yesterday.
Can't wait.
So as Cam said, 77 overs and one ball in this test match. That's 463 deliveries. So not that far off an entire day's play. The only other England bowler ever to do that in women's tests is Gillian McConway back in 1987. So that's
Jill.
Betty Snowball of today. Yeah. She's the 11th woman to take 10 wickets in women's tests. The reliance England have on her is incredible, but she keeps delivering. They'd just be absolutely nowhere without her, wouldn't they?
So Elise Perry said after one of the day's play, the more Sophie bowls, the better for England. Mm. And it is kind of like to comical levels. Like, the answer to any question is, Sophie could have a bowl, actually. Like, just, you come back, it's the start of a new session, who's bowling? It's Eccleston. We need a wicket at the moment. Okay, let's get Eccleston back on. We need a bit more control. Eccleston will have a bowl. How this team operates without her, I don't really understand. It's kind of that idea of like, isn't there that theory of the ship? Like, how many pieces of a ship do you have to change before it becomes a new ship? If you don't have Eccleston in this England team, is it still the England team? She bowls a third of the overs And well, she might be needed for some runs tomorrow as well.
Amazingly, in the press conference, she said, yeah, I'm ready to go again. So yeah. Hopefully that's a good omen for the White Ball series as well. I just wanted to chat about Alyssa Healy briefly as well. She had a weird day today. She was carded to come in at number six, but actually came out at number eight. She was actually on a pair. That would have been her second consecutive pair in Test cricket. Nearly was, because she was dropped first ball, wasn't it, when she did eventually come in?
Yeah.
You could say that cost England the game.
It's kind of been a growing sentiment of just how big a moment that was. I think you're in the press conference. Apparently there's some stuff going on that people don't really understand why she shuffled down. I thought it was really weird that she'd gone down. I understood Sutherland going up, but I didn't understand Healy dropping down. Because I remember seeing the chance live. I thought, oh, Jones has missed a stumping there because Healy's foot kind of wobbled. And then it came through that there'd been an edge on it as well. And in the context of the match, and given how high-flying England were at that time, those 50 runs are so vital. Having said that, yes, of course it's vital, but England, from Australia being 149 for one and then losing all their nine wickets for another 100 runs, like, you're letting the perfect be the enemy, or the good being the enemy of the perfect, or something like that. There's a saying there.
Theoretically.
I think so. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, I still think... England would have been delighted to be chasing 268.
So you think that, so when they were chasing 268, what did you think? Who did you think the game was with then?
I thought for the first time that England were favourites. I thought England have been, although the scorecards will say that the gap matches have been level, I thought for the whole match England have been playing catch up. And it was when Sutherland chipped the ball to Wyatt at square leg and England were kind of on a roll, it really felt like for the first time that it occurred to me, England can win this. Mm. And I think for the first time it occurred to Australia, oh, we can lose this. And especially then when Beaumont and Lamb got the innings underway and they were 50 for none after 10. Mm. They were cruising. Sutherland was bowling slower balls after like six overs. I was like, these guys are fine. They're through. And then they had another Ash Gardner kind of ball. They all just decided to get out, which I wouldn't have done personally. I would have batted without fault throughout.
Yeah, cricket's easy, isn't it?
So easy.
Yeah,
so
such
easy.
An easy sport. So the wickets did start to flow in that last hour. I think for me, the tipping point of when England were actually behind the game was when Nat Sivabrunt's wicket went. She's got to be sick with herself.
Gardner's got Beaumont, Knight, Sivabrunt, which is basically otherwise known as the England batting team. And yes, she's bowled a great ball to Knight, which has spun really sharply. But Beaumont's nicked like a Yorker kind of full toss type delivery, first ball, having got out to her last ball the previous inning. So she got out twice and two balls to Gardner, blah, blah, blah. And then Sivabrunt, I think she's gone to sweep. And I think the ball was a bit shorter than she expected. And she ended up kind of playing this weird kind of like pull shot. And just like those two dismissals, hers and Beaumont, you'll feel sick with, because England were 200 away. They were 50 for none chasing 260. Like you've almost broken the back of that chase. And instead in 10 minutes of madness, like your back's been broken. It's it was a really disastrous kind of 15 minutes for England.
It's almost like Ash Gardner came out and said, oh, 77 overs, I can get that stuff done in 20.
Don't need them. Not I'll bowl you out now.
But one thing's certain though, this England team under John Lewis, they'll come out fighting tomorrow and they'll still believe they can win. That carrot of winning a 5-day test at Trent Bridge, going 4-0 up in the series as well, that's got to be huge.
I'll feel duped, lied to, and I've been made a mockery of if England show any signs of trying to block it for a draw. Because for the whole time we've had, we're here for a win, no one's interested in a draw, we're going to play white ball cricket, it's attacking stuff, we want to play entertaining cricket. I think England will keep going. It's probably kind of wire or bust for England. I think you could go that far.
Kate Cross looked great tonight, that cover drive she played.
Cover drive at the end, those are momentum runs.
Yeah.
I'm taking them into the next day. I think, yeah, Australia are heavy favourites because it's in the pressure of a run chase, 150 is just so many, and the pitch is just starting to break up a little bit, so it's not been the set. It is more difficult to bat now. I think basically England would need like a 60 ball 60 from Wyatt, and then chip-ins from Jones and Eccleston and the rest basically for any chance.
It would be perfect if Eccleston was the one to do it though, wouldn't it?
I hadn't thought of that. That'd be so good. She does everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Bold predictions. How do you see tomorrow going?
How do I see tomorrow going? I have like an inherent fear that it could just be over by 11:30 and like England are all out.
That'd be awful.
That is the kind of the pessimistic kind of terrified view. I think the view of maximum optimism and excitement, White whacks it around, gets England to within 50, Cross gets out of the other end, and then it's 40 to win for the last three England wickets and we have another classic.
Okay, well, I'm going to go bold. I think England will lose by 45 runs, three overs after lunch.
Perfect.
So, no room for error.
I'm ready for that. I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. It's an exciting thing. If there's one thing this Test match has been, it's been absolutely brilliant as they build it to be.
It's been such a good match. Today in particular, I kind of had a moment after play where I went, that was an amazing, incredibly exciting day's play. We had, how many wickets did we have for? We had 15 wickets full. We had the match swing from one side to the other on two, maybe, if not three occasions. We had three kind of very dramatic collapses. We had two in the Australian innings. They lost their last three wickets for zero runs. Then England's top order fell away, having just looked like the match was finally going to be theirs. Yeah, free tickets tomorrow, so hopefully there'll be a good crowd in.
Yeah, get yourself to Trent Bridge if you're anywhere near. It could be really, really good. But we'll have to wait and see till tomorrow to find out all the answers to our questions. That's all we've got time for today. Cheers, Cam. Set up for a box office game tomorrow, and we'll be back after play to answer all those questions.
Podcast Network.